Hello, welcome to Pep Talks, People Empowering People, where we interview everyday people who tell their not-so-everyday stories of resiliency. We hope their stories help empower you during your journey. Pep Talks is brought to you by Mind Over Matter Books, books that teach children resiliency skills. Mind Over Matter Books can be found at mindovermatterbooks.com. With me today is Mary Fisher, a Magnificat High School graduate, class of 2001, and Hall of Fame inductee for her role in basketball. Mary went on to play college basketball at Iowa State and played professionally in Dublin, Ireland, and for the Irish national team, as she is a dual citizen. Mary is the mother of four boys ranging from 7 weeks to 8 years of age, with a six-year-old who has nonverbal autism. So Mary is going to share her story and her journey with her son Leo in hopes to inspire our mothers out there who are parents of any child with any kind of disability. So welcome, Mary.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. And you can't see this, listeners, but Mary is sitting here with her little baby, 7-week-old baby. If you hear some gurgling, that's the little baby, and that's how we're interviewing it. So, and we might hear another child in the background as well. It's okay. It's about the content, right? So, Mary, just tell me about your childhood growing up athletic. It sounds like you came from a pretty athletic family.
I did, yeah. Being the youngest of seven, grew up in Lakewood, Ohio. I grew up in my backyard playing basketball, playing horse, playing knockout around the world with my two older brothers, Pete and Tom, and sitting in the stands of Magnificat and St. Ignatius, watching all their games. My sister Ellen played volleyball at Magnificat, went on to play at Marquette. We'd get in the Astro van and we'd go to her game, many games as we can, all of us. My parents, we didn't come from a ton of money, but we did what we could. I'd go to every AAU tournament when I was a kid for my brothers, Tom and Pete. So I watched a lot of games, and that was mainly what was on in our house on the TV as well. So I could say that they shaped me, into the player I became.
Your father was even an athlete. What did he do?
Yeah, he was a runner at St. Ed's and then, Ohio University. He's in the Hall of Fame at St. Ed's and he was an All-American at OU. And he loves talking about those days, being a Bobcat and running for, can't think of his name right now, but I should know his coach's name because he talks about him all the time. Huntsman. Wow. And he was our biggest fan. He was my rebounder. He was out in the backyard with us rebounding. A lot of times we'd tell him, like, you're not allowed to talk, just rebound. But him and my mom were our biggest fans. My mom was not athletic at all. She came from kind of theatrical background, but our biggest fans. We were at church every Sunday. Typical. Praying around the Advent wreath.
Lakewood Catholic family, lots of kids, lots of athletes in the family. You had some big shoes to follow, but man, you took those shoes and ran with it, being on the national team in Ireland. How cool was that?
That was amazing. That opportunity came to me when my coach, who I played for on the, our Dublin team, realized that I could have been a dual citizen. So, he helped me kind of get my passport pretty quickly so I could play on the national team. And, we had to travel. It was amazing. In Ireland, I think we won 2 games out of the 7 that we played, but just that opportunity to play against some of those, we played against Switzerland, we played in Montenegro, we played Portugal. It was pretty amazing. And we got the Irish swag and we walked around. It was a very short season because, it was just 2 to 3 months. We tried to fit in 7 games. So we played Iceland. Yeah, it was crazy.
And this was after you graduated from college?
Yeah, so it was my, I graduated from college in 2006. And I played in Ireland from 2006 to 2009. So like 2008 was when we were playing. When I was playing for the national team.
Wow, that is so impressive. I've never met somebody who played for a national team. This is my first experience. Wow, I'm going to need your autograph when we're done. Very impressive. So now
it'll be worth a penny. It'll be worth a penny. It's worth about a penny.
So now 2009, you're done with your basketball career. And then is this when you start to kind of settle down, get married? And
yeah, so I met my husband. I knew him my whole life. We grew up in Lakewood. He's 6 years older than me, so he was friends with my older brother, Tom. And there's a lot of funny stories of them playing on the same teams together. Our dads were both Cleveland firemen together at one point. And also two of our older siblings were good friends growing up in high school. So I knew Kevin, but he was just older than me. And then, you know, I met him back, like reconnected in 2008. And then, you know, it went pretty quick. Like I knew pretty quickly when I met him. But I was already signed up to play my last season in Ireland. So he came to visit me quite a few times over there for like long weekends.
Oh my God.
Because we tried to do the long distance thing, which thank God it worked out. So
really long distance. Yeah, that's not a road trip.
It worked out. Yeah. No, we didn't have this. We didn't have FaceTime. It was all like collect. I think he got some type of international plan for that 6-7 months, but no, it worked out. Worked out great. So then once I met him, I knew like I'd already signed my contract to go back. So I was like, I got to go back. But I knew that was my last season.
Wow.
Yeah. So
very sweet that you guys were able to keep that long distance relationship for so long and so far. And right, we didn't have these things. We didn't have FaceTime. We had, you know.
No.
Just your.
It was all phone calls.
Right.
We had a huge, you know, we had a time difference. So. It worked out fine though. Cause you know, it was a short season. It was, I went over there in July and I was home by March. So he came over three times. Yeah.
And your love story sounds like for anybody that's not from the Cleveland West Side, it's kind of your typical West Side. We all grew up with big families, Irish Catholic. We all know each other. We're all related.
That's right.
Somewhere down the line, we're all from Echo Island in Ireland.
County Mayo. Mm-hmm.
County Mayo. Yep. Yeah, you do your ancestry, 23. And so I love this story. And so now you two eventually get married and you go on to have now the last 8 years, you've had 4 boys.
Correct.
My goodness. Luke being 8 years old, Leo 6, William 4, and little Fenton.
Fenton, yeah, Fenton.
Mm-hmm. 7 weeks old, and I'm just watching her rock Fenton. It's just beautiful. Very calm little boy. And I understand that Leo has been having some struggles in his short 6 years of life. He's nonverbal, but very bright child with autism. Can you take me down to when you first realized that something was a little different with Leo and what that journey's been like?
Yeah. Sorry if I get choked up, but
it's fine.
So we, I guess his 18-month appointment, you know, he wasn't really responding to his name. So the pediatrician wanted us to get his hearing check. So we did that. Hearing was perfect. Now, sidebar, I have 2 sisters who are in the special needs area. One is a speech therapist, owns her own business. The other one's a special ed teacher in Cleveland Heights. She's an intervention specialist. So they were always, you know, they always kind of like had my, they're always watchful. You know, they kind of noticed things early, but they're just like, you know. So anyways, we ended up, once he, you know, he passed his hearing test, and we ended up getting him tested through Metro, and there's a test that they do, you know, a lot of different things, verbal, eye contact, social, you know, there's a lot of things like, how are they playing and, you know, what level of age or how are they behaving, things like that. So yeah, we ended up getting the diagnosis, and it's just been a journey, up and down journey from there. Again, like, we have an unbelievable village of people behind us, our families, and my sisters have been able to kind of direct us, like, so we had no idea, like, okay, you gotta get him in OT, you gotta get him in speech, ABA, like all these things. So I've learned along the way. I also have, one of my other sisters has a couple girls that are on the spectrum as well. So they're older, they're very successful, very happy. Leo is extremely happy. I meant to say that earlier. He's like the happiest kid ever. So we've just like kind of done a lot of trial and error and just worked through everything that we, you know, it's rough on a family. It's rough on a marriage. It's rough on yourself, like, mentally. But I'm very proud of, like, where we're at now, you know,
very challenging
with him and with my marriage and with our family. And, you know, Luke plays a very important role as a big brother.
It's gotta be really tough for Luke and William, because they're, you know, there's something a little different about their brother, and he might get away with things that they don't get away with, because, and it's hard to understand, like, well, why does he get to do these things and we can't do those things? Or why does he get special attention? And that, that takes a lot of strength on the brothers to understand and respect that. And then to watch over Leo and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't know any different, which is the nice thing. You know, we tell them that he learns differently and she does, but it's funny because, like, we always were like, okay, we're going to have Luke protect Leo. But it's totally like, Leo is, it's so funny. He like beats up on them and they're like, they don't know how to react. He's a tough kid. Good. And, you know, his journey has been tough, but he's thriving. Now with this whole thing going on, it's been rough because there's been regression, but we just try and take a day at a time. That's what we try and do. And there's good days and bad days. And
so we're taping this right now, week 5 of the quarantine. So the taping of this is actually April 15th. So now they've been on lockdown for 5 weeks, 2 weeks after she gave birth to Finn. And now they're in this house, 4 little boys and both parents. And your husband is not, is he essential and out of the house working, or is he at home?
He is essential, but he's able to take 12 weeks off of work because of the baby, and he's extended. He was only going to take 4, but he has a job where he has to be, you know, he's in law enforcement. So but the nice thing is that, you know, he was early, Finn was early, so we didn't want to compromise his lungs or anything. So when he was going to go back in 4 weeks, even the pediatrician was like, no, because you don't want to bring anything home.
Right, right.
So we're, again, like I said earlier, very blessed. I get to stay home right now. I'm staying home. I've stayed home for the last 6 years. But also that he's got this very flexible job. And obviously, you know, it's the paternity leave that, you know, has been we've been very lucky and flexible.
And what a blessing that Finn came 4 weeks early. You wouldn't think that at the time. You want them to go full term, but him to come before the quarantine and everything going on, the pandemic, he kind of got into this world and got home safely before anything could get to him. So thank goodness for that. God's watching after that little guy.
Yep,
so
that is
now
for sure.
You've had, thank goodness, you had your sisters who are in the education field, or, you know, one in speech therapy and one is a special ed teacher, and also family members who have had some higher functioning autism. So you have some resourceful family members, and not just the fact that they're all very supportive, your big family, all supportive and helpful, but you've had some real insight and people in your corner to be able to give you advice on what therapies you need and how to go about getting those. So that's super valuable. What is he going through right like now? Is he in kindergarten or first grade, or and where does he go to school, and what kind of services is he getting?
So before, I mean, he's in kindergarten. He's been in preschool since he's been three, because we went through the Help Me Grow, and Lakewood schools are amazing. I can't say enough about the public school system here. Especially like, you know, both my husband and I grew up going to Catholic school. So like, this was kind of different for us. Again, can't say enough about it. So he was in an all like autistic classroom, and now he's in a program called CHAMPS. And again, it's special needs basically, but most of the kids are on the spectrum. I mean, these teachers and these aides are unbelievable. We've had the best experience, because I was a little nervous. I was looking into last year when he was going to be a kindergarten, I was looking into like all autistic schools. We went and toured a couple, and I'm really happy that we made this decision. So he was in speech. He's been in speech since he's been 2.5. We go twice a week. He's in OT, occupational therapy, once a week. He does feeding therapy once a week. He does ABA twice a week. And for now, those things are all like, we're trying to do a couple things over line online, but right now he's not in those, obviously, because of the quarantine. So
it's scary, because then they start to regress. So what are you seeing, with him regression wise? What has been happening over the last month?
So, you know, he never was a very good eater. He's gotten so much better. He's got a lot of sensory things going on.
Sure.
So he's, you know, he's been on the Miralax, which has very hard for us to potty train. So just in January, I want to say December, January, we were pretty much fully potty trained, and he was 6 years old. So it was a long process for us.
Sure.
That's been very hard. So that was like a huge achievement. That was my goal before Finn was born, the baby was born. And then when, you know, he stopped going to school, we had to put the pull-ups back on because he was having accidents.
Sure, that routine. He's lost that routine.
Yeah.
And what he knows as normal for him, his daily routine, is now upset. And it's got to be really difficult for him and all of you at home, I imagine.
It is, yeah. But I will say he's come out of it now. We still haven't put the underwear back on because I'm just like, I don't want to deal with it. But he's coming back out of it, which we're very happy about. But mainly behaviors is what we're seeing the regression in. You know, just he's sensory seeking. So he'll go and squeeze the toothpaste and just walk away. Or he'll crash into something. Or he's constantly having his hand in water, or, you know, doing something. So I feel like I'm like a drill sergeant. I'm like, stop, no, nah, stop, stop, you know. I was just telling my husband last night, I'm like, I am not the best version of myself right now as a mother in this quarantine. I'm going crazy. And he's like, a lot, oftentimes he's very the calm to my crazy. And he's like, it's fine. You know, just one day at a time. And he has his days too, but I'm kind of the structured parent.
Sure.
And he's the fun.
Sure.
He fills the sensory bucket for Leo with his rough play and things like that.
Sure.
So,
but what are you doing, Mary? What are you doing to take care of yourself? You got four little boys. You guys are quarantined. Are you able to get out and take a walk or do anything for you?
Yeah. So I just actually got my like 6 week clear. So I started running. Like I usually, my getaway is like going to coach kids, cause I do private lessons, but obviously we can't do that. So, I like being in a gym with a basketball, but I can't do that right now. So yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, sometimes I just need to go for a drive, listen to my music, or I go for a run, and my son, you know, my son Luke bikes on his, you know, goes biking. My husband, like a couple nights ago, my husband, we have a fire pit in the back, and that's sometimes what we'll do is sit in the backyard or after they're all in bed. But it's different now because I got a little guy that I'm, you know, constantly, I mean, I put him down, obviously. I'm just holding him now because I know he'd be like fussing and. Sure. But he's a really good baby. But yeah, no, there's ways I can take care of me. But right now it's difficult because I'm nursing. I'm on call always for these boys, you know?
Right, right. But it's definitely got to find that time and get out and take that run. And it's so hard for parents to do that because moms are so selfless. They just want to take care of everybody before themselves. And, you know, the old adage that you got to put that oxygen mask on yourself first.
Yeah,
so you
100%.
Can be the best version of yourself. And it's hard to do that. It's hard to understand, like, I need to go take this run, even though there's dishes and there's chaos and potty in the pants and everything else. You got to do that. You have to take care of you so that when you come back, you're more patient and you're more available and more present with the kids.
So, yeah, usually Marshall's is my go-to. Like, that's where I go. Like,
yes.
Kevin will be like, do you need to go to Marshall's tonight? I'm like, yeah, thank you. I'm going to Marshall's. Goodbye.
Shopping does a woman's soul good, doesn't
but
it?
It's just Marshall's, yes, or Target. And then that's all I need. I'm good.
Good for you.
I'm fill that bucket.
Yes, yes. I'm so glad that you're finding that time. I wanted to ask you about Leo and how is he with noise and light? Are those sensory pieces that really upset him and affect him?
They don't affect him to the point where he's having a meltdown. In the mornings, he doesn't like any lights on. You know, there's like a certain time of day or like certain point in the morning where he's like, okay, we can turn lights on. But like if there's a light on when he comes down from waking up, he's, my battery's running low. Okay. He's not having that noise. Not so much. Like there's certain commercials that kind of trigger him, like, Arby's, like we have the meat. Like he hates that. He's like, ah. And the other one he doesn't like is Liberty, 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 Liberty. And he like closes his ears and hums, but then that's it. He's fine. You know, he just finds ways to block it out. He doesn't melt down from him. But that Liberty commercial is, I think, I'm sorry, but I, there's probably, I'm speaking for a lot of people who don't like that commercial.
That's funny. That's funny. I think we're all doing the same thing with our ears. That's funny.
Yep.
Now, what about, now I know my stepson was autistic and he had gluten intolerance and it made a huge difference when he finally stopped eating gluten products. Do you notice anything with the diet and your son or even food dyes?
You know what? I haven't because he was such a limited eater. Like there was only like three things he'd eat. None of them had food dye. A lot of them was a lot of carbs, but now since we've gone to this, feeding OT, she's like, I mean, he's eating fruits, he's eating vegetables, he's eating meat, which wasn't eating meat before. I had to, you know, somehow work in protein through this carnation. He's a big chocolate milk guy. He was like 90, we joke like 90% chocolate milk and the other 10% is just like pretzels. So we've worked through that, but, I'm just happy he's eating healthier.
Sure.
You know,
that's great. I didn't know they had feeding therapists. That's amazing.
She specializes in that. Yeah. I can't say enough about this gal. She's amazing.
That's wonderful. That's huge. I mean, their diet is huge. It does have an impact on their behaviors. And one, they have the sensory issues. So they're very finicky about the texture of foods and
texture
feel, it's kind of like a macaroni and cheese and chicken nugget diet.
Correct. Oh no, I would have killed for him to eat those. He was eating like a Pop-Tart. God, what was he eating? God, I have to ask. Like a Pop-Tart was just one of the things. There was like only three or four things. Pop-Tarts.
Something. Yeah. And the effects of food dyes on their behaviors is also huge. But then it's like, okay, but he's eating fruit chews. I want him to eat these fruit chews because there's 10% fruit juice. But then you don't realize that red dye and yellow dye are in those fruit chews. And it's like, oh,
right.
It's going to make him, you know, go crazy at home. So many things to look for. Now, before we began taping this, you had mentioned wanting to kind of advocate and kind of help support other parents going through what you've been going through. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So I kind of just have met people along the way. There's people that have helped me from the very beginning that I, you know, I'm indebted to. Their kids went through the system and they're older now, but I had no clue. And so I've met some mothers that where I was, you know, you don't know. You don't know about these IEPs. You don't know what services are available. There's money available that you can get for equipment for your kids. Like there's a lot of things that I had to learn, and now I want to help these other parents who they don't know about, you know, help me grow. Like I had no idea about that. And now I'm like telling people with, you know, kids that are 6 months old that are having issues in any way, get your kid in. I mean, it's free. It's provided by the county. So I wanted to somehow start some support group because I needed it. Like I needed a support group.
Sure.
You know, that was part of the reason why I wanted to start it. So I was trying to figure out like, where do I start? So I wanted to start with the Magnificat community because I'm kind of, you know, still ish, like, you know, a lot of my nieces play basketball there. So I'm like around, you know, I'm friends with the varsity coach. I coached there for 3 years. I didn't even mention that after I got home from Ireland.
Okay. I'm very connected to Magnificat.
I'm connected.
That would be a nice platform to help.
Correct.
Support just, these other moms.
Right. So I wanted to start with alumni, but not to just leave it at that. Anyone who had friends, you know, so I contacted them and eventually after like kinks were worked out, we got it started. The first one was in January of 2020. I was hoping for 10, there was 13 there. It was
nice.
Awesome.
Wow. That's
yeah.
Great.
And it was just amazing to hear the different stories of, it wasn't just to autism. It was all special needs umbrella. So there was just so many different stories and like, it's just comforting to talk to and just hear, you know, other people, what they're going through, because you can lend, you know, you can lend an ear, you can lend advice, you can, you know, anything. So I don't know. It's kind of a,
you know, you're
exactly.
Alone.
It's a very special club to be a part of.
Yeah.
Very special community.
Right. And it's you nice know? To pick up, you know, secrets and hacks, life hacks that work for you and share with each other on different things that work and different programs that work. It's just a great network system that every parent needs. I mean, and it's just nice to walk away and feel like you're not the only one overwhelmed. You're not the only one stressed. You're not the only one who's, you know, wants to take a run and, you know, take a run for 26 miles if you can just to stay out of the
house.
Right. So it normalizes you and it also empowers you when you're leading and helping others. It gives you purpose, you know, like there's a reason for this. Instead of being like, why me? Why do I have this going on in my life? It's like, well, here's my purpose. I'm going to help empower other parents with this. So I hope once this pandemic passes, that you'll be able to get back out inspiring other moms. And I imagine someday you're going to be looking back saying, oh, I remember when there was only 13 and now, you know, I need a huge building for all of this. And I imagine you're going to take this
I hope.
Very far because there's a need. There's a definite need. There's way more than 13 parents in this area that could benefit from something like this. So
yeah,
I wish you well for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you're trying to get out and take a drive and a run. And sounds like you have a huge support system with your both your big families and you know, everybody's related in the area. So you have a lot of connections and staying connected with Magnificat. Both of our alumni are alma maters. So that's always a wonderful group to be connected with. So
yes, they've been very supportive. Very grateful. Sister Helen Jean was, you know, she was at the first meeting and she like read the prayer and, you know, I wanted to start and kind of intertwine faith because I'm, you know, faith is very important to me. And it was just special that she was there. She read the prayer. We all were holding hands. Like it was just so, it was very nice.
Oh, that's sweet.
Then we had a glass of wine. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Even better. Good old Sister Helen Jean. She was there when I was there in the 80s.
Yeah.
She was quite a very valuable resource at Magnificat. I know she was involved in a lot of the different programs there. So it's neat that she got involved with your program.
Yeah, it was very nice. It was very cool.
Well, being a mom of four boys, nonetheless, is takes a lot, a lot of patience and then to throw in one 7-week-old baby part of it and then the nonverbal autism. You had a lot of stuff going on there in your nice home in Lakewood. And I wish you well, Mary. I think you're going to do wonders with your journey in helping to empower other moms and inspire them and lift them and connect with them. That's what life's about. We get thrown these challenges in our lives, and instead of saying, huh, why me, or how come I have this, it's okay, what am I going to do with this? I'm going to help empower others. I'm going to learn as much as I can with the resources I have, and then I'm going to take that knowledge and I'm going to pay it forward. So I love that that's what you're doing. And I think Leo is very blessed to have you there advocating, both your husband and you advocating, and all the relatives that have pieces, parts to help advocate for you guys.
Yeah, we're lucky. We're very lucky. He's made our family closer. There's so many things that he's brought joy, so much joy he's brought in. He's made our families closer. He's made us closer as a family. We've met the most unbelievable people that have helped us, and we're continuing to, you know, be friends with them. So we're very lucky, feel blessed. Well, it's hard. Moments, it's a hard journey. It's difficult days, but.
But this journey, Leo is going to help shape William and Luke to be two amazing young men when they grow up. There's always something special about the siblings of a child with special needs. They just come out with so much compassion and love and understanding, and they will be the kids at the schools that if anybody is getting mocked out at school, anybody, Luke and William will be the ones to be the first ones to stand up to that, because they understand differences. They understand the compassion that's needed for everybody. So much character, so many good things like you were recognizing have come out of Leo having this autism. And I love that you see that already. And that's just a great attitude. It's a wonderful attitude.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time. I know you have your hands full, so I won't keep you any longer. This little baby, Finn, has just been rocking quietly in her arms during this entire interview. Look at that little baby. Oh my God, that little face. So darn cute.
He looks just like his brothers. If I showed you a picture of, they all look alike. They're all like, it's funny. And he came out, and we never find out what we're having. He came out and he looked exactly like William. Like, it's crazy. It's just funny.
Oh my God. Well, so. I don't think you ever have to worry about, you know, finding out. I think you're just going to be having boys. So
yeah. Well, there's going to be no more. So
okay. Famous words from the Irish Catholic moms. There's going to be
exactly.
No,
if it's up to my husband, we'd have five more. I'm like, no, shut down. Sorry.
Famous last words. We'll follow this journey the next couple of years and see how Mary stuck with that. Well, thank you, Mary.
Having me on.
I appreciate you telling your story, especially being so busy. Take care of you during this time. Get out with the kids. Get out for it by yourself. Have little date nights by that bonfire with your husband once the kids go to sleep. Continue to rekindle that love that's been around for a long time now. So thank you so much, Mary.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Today's takeaway points from our interview with Mary Fisher are: when faced with adversity, it is key to have a village of people as your support system. Take care of you. Simple things like date night at the fire pit after the kids go to sleep, or a drive alone, or even a night at your favorite store, all help fill your bucket. Networking with others who have common challenges can empower you. Get connected, stay connected. Sometimes children with special needs bring joy and bring families together. Today's gratitude is: when you face difficult times, know that challenges are not sent to destroy you. They're sent to promote, increase, and strengthen you. Well, that's it for today's interview. We hope our guests helped you overcome some of your adversity and learn some new resiliency skills to help you to live a more fulfilled life. Keep on dancing and don't stop believing.